Episode 303, How to Get to the Next Level.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Welcome everybody and welcome to the daily edition of the Trigg Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV. Right here with my gozo bell, my gozo mug. Let's see how today's coffee of the day is tasting. Oh man, that is amazing. Also here with my gozo hat here in Gozo Nation, Gozolandia, from Long Beach, California. My name is David Trigg. Gozo, by the way, means joy in Spanish. Comes out of Psalm 30, verse 6, that says that if there's pain in the night, gozo or joy comes in the morning. I want to talk to you today about how to get to the next level. In every area of your life, you want to reach the next level. Just think of your fitness. You maybe are okay, but you want to get more muscle tone. You want to get more lean muscle in you. You want to lose 10, 20 pounds. In your job or career, you want to move up the ladder, make more money, influence more people. Even in our spiritual lives, we all want to trust God more. But how do you go from the level that you're at to the next level? Because reality is that there are so many obstacles that come our way. We get discouraged. We get busy. We think that we're okay, and we may lose our drive for more because of many reasons. But I want to tell you today that there are ways that you can achieve the next level and go to the next level that are very effective. And I speak from experience throughout my whole life. I've been in situations where I was not where I wanted to be, where I wanted to do more, where I wanted to influence my family in a deeper way, where I wanted to be more happy in my personal life. So I want to give you five tips that have helped me along my journey to get to the next level. Number one is to experience failure. I would say that for most of us, failure is an unavoidable reality. Failure is our teacher. Failure is your greatest mentor. Even though all of us would rather not get fired from a job or break up or end a relationship that we valued, it is failure that teaches us the greatest lessons. And I think that the reason why that is the case is because failure is out of our hands. It's something that we can't control. Most of us, when we think of how to reach the next level, we think of what can we do to make things happen. But when failure comes to our door, it's unannounced. It's shocking when you get a bad medical report, when you get a bad grade from school, when your dream relationship ends. You feel lost. You feel completely confused. And a lot of times, a lot of people lose their way when they fail. But I am convinced that failure is our greatest teacher, especially if you're a high achiever or if you are a kind of a Midas touch kind of person, that you believe that everything you do turns to gold. Failure is your greatest companion. Don't be afraid of failure. Don't dismiss failure as a punishment upon who you are. Don't see failure as failure. It's funny to say that, but failure, along with that word, when we say that word, failure feels like you are worthless. And I can speak from personal experience that every time that I have failed in small or big ways, it's something that touches me deeply. I will go into a spin cycle that could last weeks, maybe months. But when failure is there, I believe that God can use it to bring the best out of you. I mean, you think of all of your heroes, your parents, obviously people in the Bible, everyone that you admire in business or in entrepreneurship or in creative adventures or athletes, the best men and women of God that do amazing things in this world are people who have gone through tough times, who have hit bottom, who have dealt with failure. And when failure is at your doorstep, as I said, don't ignore it. Don't see it as the end to your life. Instead, realize that God is at work in you, not externally. If anything, everything shuts down externally, but the work is happening internally. You're learning how to be more patient. You're learning how to be more humble. You're learning what you do and don't do. If the failure is in your career or in school, what that failure teaches you is what you're not supposed to be doing. Or in many cases, it forces you to become stronger. It's like the song says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And that is very true. Every time that I have failed at something, there have been two kinds of failures or two lessons that I've learned when I failed. First of all, it's that I'm not supposed to be in that, in terms of career, in that field. When I have failed at something, it's because life and God and my own gifts are telling me, that's not you. When I have failed in other areas that maybe are me, the lesson often is patience, is to wait and to maybe not even wait, only wait, but to move forward in a different way. And so when failure comes to you, pause, reflect, yes, lick your wounds, yes, take a step back, but realize that there is success happening inside of you that in the moment you can't see, but in the future it will be very evident to you and to all. Number two is these are the five tips on how to get to the next level. Number two is to put away pride. Put away ego and pride. All of us have these virtues that God's given us, but also we have these vices. Kind of the old adage of you have the good angel on your right shoulder and you have the demon on your left shoulder, right? Every one of us has virtues, meaning these positive things and these negative things. And pride, at least for me, is one of those hidden vices that I've had to let God remove from me in order to reach the next level. Years ago, I was working at a different church, and we were talking about similar things, and one of the staff members confessed, I guess, that his thing, his biggest fault, I guess, is pride. And I thought, yeah, I can see that in you. I just said that to myself. But you know what really was the problem? Not only that I was criticizing him, but that I had that same problem, and I wasn't willing to admit it at the time. And pride is something that's very, I guess, at least for me, easy to hide because you think that you're very humble, and it's the irony, right? Anytime that you say you're humble, you're being proud, prideful. And now let me say, not everyone deals with pride. Your vice might be that you are a glutton. It might be shame. It might be that you are a control freak. It might be that you overcommit to things. It might be that you are a workaholic. There are many ways in which we have, in which we almost, there are many things that prevent us from going to the next level. For me, it's pride and it's a lack of humility. Often it comes across, at least to others and to myself, as I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want to help. I don't want to be patient. All of those things really come from ego. And identifying what your virtue and your vices are is very important. And I mentioned the Enneagram earlier, but one way that I've learned more about my vices and all these things is this test called the Enneagram. And it's not really a test. It's more of a, I would say, more of a learning, more of a doctrine almost. It's a spiritual, you could call it test, but it's more of a kind of an understanding, sort of like the MBTI and anything that deals with personalities. You know, it's not just a test. There are tests that you can take. There are many books and podcasts and videos on these topics. But enough to say that that's been an amazing tool. So if you've never really taken any of these tests, you might want to go and just type in enneagraminstitute.com or just simply Enneagram, and you will find many free sites where you can take these tests. Although the masters in this arena, they say that you shouldn't take the test. So learn about it. But here's the thing, you know, if you don't want to even go through all that, here's what I recommend. Ask your parents, ask your wife, your husband, ask your kids and say, kids, here are these seven deadly sins. You know, just go to Proverbs 7, right? Actually, let's do that right now. This will be a fun exercise for us. So, you know, in Proverbs chapter, I think it's 6 or maybe it's 7, it describes what's called traditionally the seven deadly sins. And so what you may want to do is just simply go and ask your friend or, like I said, your mom, your parents. Just say, hey, which of these sins do you see most in me? Or maybe don't call it sin. Just call it, which of these is my tendency? You can say, which of these things do I tend to struggle with? You know, that kind of thing. So here they are. It is Proverbs 6, verse 16. It says, there are six things, and some say that there are seven, but here it says six. Anyway, there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven, that are an abomination to him. So here they are, haughty eyes. So that speaks right there of pride, right? You think you're so amazing. A lying tongue. So lying. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. So we're talking about violence or maybe aggression. Now, don't take these things so literally as in, well, of course I don't devise wicked plans, or of course I don't have haughty eyes. Don't get stuck in the language. Try to be more honest about the actual kind of the behind the scenes of some of these things. So, for example, I doubt any of you are shedding innocent blood, right? But behind that statement is really aggression or kind of a tendency to want to control others. That's what it's getting at. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. So that kind of goes along with the whole thing of deceiving and lying and maybe cutting corners would be another way to put it. And the next one is feet that make haste to run to evil. So now we're talking about people that are perhaps impulsive. Maybe you are one that tends to jump into things without thinking, and maybe you jump into the wrong things, okay? So then the next one, it says, a false witness who breathes out lies. I mean, that's just straight out lying and deceiving, or what some may call being a chameleon, or being a people pleaser, or being a jack of all trades and a master of none. You know, all of those things are kind of getting to this idea of lying and deception. And then the last one here, and one who sows discord among brothers. So now we're talking about someone who is influencing other people and who is manipulating others towards evil, towards something that isn't helping others. So those are the things that are there. You can use the Ten Commandments. You can use these seven abominations or deadly sins, as they call them here. But the point is, if you don't want to take a test, just simply ask someone you love, use some of these lists, and then what do? Well, once you hear their response, if they're honest with you, they'll say, well, yeah, you know, maybe this or maybe that. And obviously no one's going to just tell you, yep, you're a robber, you're a wicked, crooked person, right? Obviously people won't tell you that. But try to be still when you ask someone these things. Learn from what they're saying. And then maybe go to these websites and put two and two together. And now, what's the point of all that? Well, the point is to realize that that is your tendency. So for me, the tendency is always to make myself greater than I really am. So that's why deception to me, when it talks here about lying or haughty eyes, that's my vice. When I speak a big game, I know that I'm in my deception instead of in my honesty. I know that I'm in my vice versus in my virtue. My virtue is to actually help people, to actually use the amazingness that I am to actually help others, not to deceive you or to make you think that I'm such a big thing. And guess what happens when I try to do that? Everyone can see right through me, right? The same thing happens to you. The same thing happens to all of us. When you're in your vice, you might think that no one can tell that you are being deceptive or that you're lying or that you are controlling or that you're overdoing something or that you're a perfectionist or judgmental. But guess what? Everyone else can tell. And the people that are the real people, those that really want to love you and help you, are those that will call you on it. Not to hurt you, but they will say to you, stop judging me. Or you tend to see everything through a black and white filter. And even though to us, and I'm now getting really deep into this because this is a real passion of mine, meaning understanding myself and you and understanding the vices and virtues and really getting to the heart of who we are as humans. And of course, to celebrate our positive traits as well, of course. But speaking of our vices, when you get real about your vice, it's not so that others can use it against you. And this is always the fear that I have still less and less when I tell you, oh, here's my vice, because there will be some people who are so judgmental and so practical. That's what they'll say. Oh, I'm just being practical. But really, they will take any knowledge and use it against you in their heads. So anyway, that's another story. But here's my point. With all of that said, to be vulnerable, self-aware, to be honest with yourself and maybe with one or two other people. I don't recommend you just go on an Instagram rant and talk about how you're such a lying person. Instead, if you simply keep it in your heart, you have trusted friends that are working with you on that. If someone does confront you, maybe you're asking God to actually give you listening ears. When you yourself go beyond the facade of honesty, and I'm speaking on this a lot because this is so me. It's easy for many of us to act humble, and this is again my story, to come across in your own head as very contrite, but really there's this one big thing that is the real issue, and these seven deadly sins kind of describe them, that until you and I learn what's behind some of our actions, even, yes, our positive actions, we won't be able to move up to the next level. So that's number two, is put away your vice. And in my case, or in some of these things, it could be pride, it could be different things, but put away your vice. Number three is to coach others, teach others. I really believe that the true measure of a man or a woman of God who is reaching the next level is service. There is no such thing as a egomaniac servant leader. There is no such thing as an amazing leader, pastor, musician, or entrepreneur that is all about themselves. That just doesn't exist. Now, in the world, of course, you see a million examples of artists or entrepreneurs, of social media personalities or presidents or politicians who seem to have it all, and yet they are such evil people. They put themselves first, second, and third. Yes, that's exactly true. And that is the great dilemma of our day and really of history, is why do evil people succeed? And you can read up on this. And especially the Proverbs, again, talk a lot about this injustice. But enough to say that the true people who move up the ladder, or let me put it this way, you know when you are reaching the next level, when you are helping more people. It's such a kind of a contradiction in terms sometimes. You think, well, no, reaching the next level means it's more about me. I have more success, a better job, a better body. I have more friends, right? Me, 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 me. That's what's natural to us. That's what most of us deal with as our vice or our ego. Our ego is all about me. And yet, what does Jesus say? If you want to be the greatest of all, be the servant of all. So it's such a parody. It's such a contradiction. But the only way that you can truly know that you're reaching the next level is if you can point to more people that you're serving. I don't mean in general. I don't mean having a bigger following online or for your podcast or your Instagram feed. I mean actual men and women, like young people, like children, or actual adults, actual people that you can write down their name and say, here's how I helped Frank. Here's how I helped Sue. Here are the actual ways in which I helped these people. I'm not talking about, of course, running yourself into the ground or burning yourself out trying to save the world. No. But if you cannot point to actual people that you've helped, including your own family, your mom, your husband, your wife, your children if you're married, your friends, the people in your community, the people in your church, if you can't actually think of someone who you've helped personally, then that means you're not reaching the next level. But when you can point to one or two people, and most of all, I would say this way, if they can say that you've helped them, then you know you're reaching the next level. So if you want to go to the next level, if you want to reach new heights in your life, learn to coach and to teach and to help other people. Number four, and I mentioned this earlier, is to be more patient. Being patient is, and these are, of course, things that I work on all the time, and I'm always asking God for more of. They say that we need to have the patience of Job, right? Because he waited for years without knowing what the heck was going on. Why am I in this horrible situation? People would always say of my dad, he's passed away since, but I remember at his funeral especially, many people, hundreds of people would tell me, your dad was a very patient man. And the reason why people say that of you is because they have experienced that from you. I don't know, I can't say right now, if many people would say of me, wow, he's a very patient man. I would probably guess that people would say other things about me, good and bad. But I feel that God in this current season of my life, he's teaching me patience. I would say even deeper than that, he's forcing me to be patient. He's causing me to be patient. He wants me to learn how to be patient so that I can go to new heights and new levels. And I wonder if that's the same thing for you. I wonder if the biggest lesson of your current situation at work, at home, with your family, maybe it's patience. Now, what is patience? Like, what exactly are we talking about when we talk about this word, this mystery word of patience? Well, I was looking it up earlier, and I want to actually get that here to you really quick. And here's what patience means. Just talking about Proverbs, okay, and Solomon and the wisest men ever. So the actual word patience, let me see here, with like Proverbs 25:15 is one of those verses that is so amazing. It says, with patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. Now, the word patience actually means, it's the Greek word orak, and it means length, forbearance, self-restraint. Isn't that amazing? By the way, I want to give you the fifth tip before I go here. The fifth tip is enjoy the results. To enjoy the results. But just to end with this idea of patience. Isn't patience beautiful? Here it says that the word for patience in Hebrew is orek. And as I said, it means forbearance, self-restraint. I wonder if there are many of us here, I include myself in this, need to experience and practice more self-restraint. What area do you need to, in what area do you need to practice more self-restraint? My guess is that self-restraint, patience, learning from failure, putting away pride, all these things that I've mentioned, teaching others, my guess is that these are the keys to you moving to the next level. Be patient. Learn to be forbearing. Learn to put others first. Learn to serve people with your whole heart. Learn to get your hands dirty, especially with people that you normally would not want to associate with. Is there a certain person, a certain age group, a certain kind of, I don't know, life stage person that God is saying, do something with them, be patient with them, and you're saying no, but maybe today is the day for you to make that decision. My encouragement for you today is that you will be a man or a woman of God. My prayer is that you will reach new heights, that you will get to the next level, and that you will know that no matter what, God is with you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for following me on Facebook and YouTube. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.